guys, welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have a fellow Wahoo, a Virginia Cavalier, J.C. Aragon. Well, he graduated in 2017. I graduated in 2016, so it was nice seeing him out on the courts for 3 years. You know, he's only 5'10", but his speed and explosiveness are just unbelievable. I actually compare his game to mine. He's just very scrappy, and you can really rely on him when the times get tight and it's crunch time and it's three all, and he's just like the player you want to see fighting for the school. So he is a member of three NCAA men's tennis championship winning teams. Three. Do you know how intimidating it was to be around that men's tennis team? They basically never lost a match. So, like, if you lost a match and you were in the presence of the UVA men's tennis team, you, like, would want to look down. Like, they were so good. Like, for them, it was a race to see who could win first, like, in singles, who can finish first. Whereas on, like, any other team, they're just trying to win as a team. For the men's tennis team at UVA, it was, like, who could finish first to get that win. Because usually, like, when you get to 4 points, the match stops. But you know, that men's tennis team, like, they were just tennis gods. Like, not even kidding, guys. He qualified in 2017 for the men's U.S. Open. He won 3 qualifying matches before falling in the first round of the main draw to Kevin Anderson, and he reached a career high of 153. Without further ado, my fellow Wahoo, J.C. Aragon.
How has quarantine been for you? Where are you? Tell me that.
As you can imagine, it's pretty low-key, pretty boring. Me and my fiance were in Miami. It actually was terrible. We were in a small one-bedroom apartment on, like, the 30th floor in a super crowded building. So, like, we felt really stuck because, again, I have type 1 diabetes, so I got to be kind of extra careful. So we weren't leaving the apartment at all. If we would leave, we'd take the stairs. And it just kind of got a little bit too much. I wasn't going outside. I wasn't really doing much. I couldn't work out. So we decided, hey, let's just rent a car, clean the heck out of it and drive from Miami all the way to DC where her parents lived. And thankfully they have like a big gym and a nice house, and it's been a lot better just because of, you know, it's tough being stuck in a tiny one bedroom for a while. So we've been here close to 8 weeks, and it's been great for the time being, but obviously I would love to get back to normal, but, as I'm sure many people would.
Yeah. Well, that's a great setup that you get to be with her and in around the DC area. You said they have a gym. So are you able to, like, keep up with your cardio and your lifts and all that?
Yeah. I mean, by gym, I mean, like, we have a basement. They have, like, a bunch of weights. They have, you know, like a bench. They have an elliptical, a bike. Like, it's not obviously what we're used to, but it's gets the job done. We have a park nearby that really nobody goes to, so I'll do a ton of sprints out there. I've been working out a lot, maybe once, twice every single day. And then thankfully her neighbor actually just opened up a court. Like, they built a court in their backyard, and a few days ago it's, you know, I guess was finished. So they've been letting me use that a couple times a week. They were nice enough to buy me a ball machine, which has been amazing. So in that sense, I'm super lucky. Again, it's a little bit different, you know, hitting against a ball machine than, you know, being competing and traveling. So it's not the same, but at the same time, it feels like a little bit more normal than just hanging out in the house all day.
Is there anyone maybe in the area that you might feel comfortable asking to hit a few times a week?
Yeah, so I'm going to hit with Kula tomorrow, which is nice. I know he lives in Arlington, so he's like 10 minutes away. And I think he's been quarantining with his girlfriend. So, you don't feel as comfortable as before, which is weird. And we try to stay as safe as possible. But it'll definitely help out being able to hit with someone else rather than a wall or a ball machine.
For sure. And tennis is like one of those sports like golf where I feel like we're not super close to each other, so that distance might make it a little bit easier and better for us to be getting back to our sport, whereas, you know, all the other sports really are like more like contact sports or where you're really close to the person. Those probably will take a longer time to get back, like basketball.
But you still just feel uneasy just with just being around people. I
absolutely.
Don't know, this whole situation
absolutely.
Has made me, I guess, just, I don't know, even when you walk in the street, you see someone coming, you go to the other side. It definitely leaves a little bit of just, it just feels like tension. I don't know. It's weird. Like, especially coming from like a South American Latin culture where everybody, you know, goes up and gives like double kisses and is very, you know, open. And this is a complete just shock to the system, it feels like.
Absolutely. But it seems like during quarantine, you've also picked up a lot of cooking skills and, well, you've been cooking a lot on the, what's the app? Tennis One app? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So I've been, I love food. I'm not a great cook. Like, I absolutely, like, that's my, when I traveled, that was one of my things that I would love going and finding cool restaurants and doing kind of neat things. Like, for me, food is part of my life, is one of the biggest parts of my life. So I guess learning to cook has definitely made it easier. I'm not an expert, but, you know, I can kind of, I follow instructions well. And I have a little bit of patience, I guess, when it comes to cooking, because I really want to eat the food. So it definitely makes the time go by, and it's something new to learn.
It's always better for me when I cook for someone else, because whenever I cook, my dish never makes it to the plate. Somehow, my food is always gone before I serve it when I make it for myself, especially pancakes. Like the other day, I was making pancakes, and I was eating them as they were finishing one by one. But yeah, I've been cooking more too.
No, I'm more of the opposite. As soon as it hits the plate, it'll evaporate, but I'll have the patience of getting it from the pan over.
Gotcha. Well, I feel like it's a little better than what I have going on, which is something, I don't know, animal-like. But we also have a common interest in old fashions, and I have to say, I did try your recipe. I forgot to tell you, I really loved it. You and I also got those super expensive cherries, $18
for like. Cherries are great.
They are great.
I think it's the cherry is one of the most important parts. It's kind of an easy recipe. I mean, I was so bored. I complicated. I tried literally everything. I tried the smoked old fashioned. I've tried the rum old fashioned. I've tried any kind of old fashioned recipe I found online. I tried. I ordered. I got in trouble here at the house because we ordered like hundreds of dollars worth of just whiskey, and we tried every different kind of rye whiskey and. We even were calling different places to see if they had some, because some are kind of hard to find, and people are like, oh, you got to try this one, and we found one in Trap, Maryland, and I found another in California, and we were calling, like, we just, again, I guess it's not that I have this addiction to alcohol. It's
no, I know.
We were so bored, and I was like, you know, I'm going to pick something to make, and then I wanted to kind of master it, and, Catherine's dad here loves whiskey and scotch, so I was like, this will be fun as well. So we went through the woodworks of the old fashioned. I'm kind of over it now because I've had so many. I've tried even with maple syrup. I've tried with honey. I've done all the recipes possible.
Very interesting. I'm still trying different recipes, and I feel like trying new food recipes, drink recipes has been part of my quarantine schedule. Just, I don't know, just learning more about my interests and my palate, I guess you can say.
I think for me, it gives you a little bit of a, like, a schedule. Like, I know Friday, Saturdays are cocktail hour for me, so, like, I'll look forward for the week to getting to Friday and Saturday, and since everyone's kind of finishing up their work day around 5:30 or 6 here, I'm kind of the one that's like, all right, at 6, I'm ready to go. Everybody comes downstairs, and it just, I don't know, it just gives me something to look forward to, even though it's nothing crazy.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point. As a pro tennis player, usually we have structure and routines and, you know, training and all that. Do you feel a little bit lost without your structure. You've made your own schedule, it seems like, a little bit.
Yeah, I actually think for me it's the complete opposite. This has helped me so much because I have no structure. Before, I was so like, go, go, go. I have to do this, I have to do that. And this has really given me a time to like sit back and be like, wow, I actually don't have anything to do. Let me just enjoy kind of what I'm doing. Like before, I'd be doing one thing, thinking about the next thing I have to do or the following day, you know, like it's just, it was a lot. So I think having this time to kind of just be present and, you know, read a book or do a puzzle or just things that I would never honestly do, has really helped me. I'm a very anxious person as it is. I have to be doing something at all times. So at first it was the worst. I have to like, you know, I had to schedule what I was going to do and run to the next thing. And, you know, week five, now I'm like, okay, let's just do one thing at a time. Let's not stress about it. And I think it's been great.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't relate to you more. Like in the beginning, I was trying to make, you know, appointments and see friends and over FaceTime and just try to fill up all my time. But now I'm just enjoying going slow, doing things I never used to have time for. Like you said, reading, even these little podcasts I've been doing with people, I feel like I get to know them better. Like I'm getting to know you so much better, even though we went to UVA, and we'll go into that in a few minutes. But no, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Is Catherine working still during this time?
Yeah, she's the only one that hasn't really been affected at all because she used to work remote and travel with me. So I guess in the sense, like, she's used to, you know, working at home. And, you know, besides the traveling aspect and that we're here now, she's like, this is her normal day. You know, she kind of mentally at least is pretty patient with the fact that, okay, she's used to waking up and, you know, doing her emails and doing this. And a lot of people, I think, have been shocked by the fact of working at home. So at least for her, it's pretty routine and pretty easy. That's why I think at first she was like, why are you losing your mind? And like, you know, being normal, it's like, because I'm not used to being inside all day.
Yeah.
Being outside, you know, 5-6 hours a day. So, but it definitely makes it easier when I know that she's doing okay. I don't at least have to worry about her. I can just worry about my crazy self.
Right. No, that's true. So I want to take us to 2012 because I was already at UVA and I knew you were coming to UVA and I knew it was a really hard year for you. Would you say it was probably the hardest year of your life?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every year is tough in a sense.
Right. I guess more in a health kind of way. I know.
For sure.
I remember hearing that you were hospitalized. It was due to liver and kidney failure. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a couple of the things. I was in a coma for a while. I was just all, it was like a weird medication I took that gave me a whole reaction of sorts. It was just all awful.
Yeah. And then was that the year you got diabetes or diagnosed with the diabetes?
So the diabetes was later. It was after I kind of got out of the hospital, was kind of back to not even normal, but at least playing a little bit. And I think it was just my body was under so much stress and trying to get back to normal that that was one of the side effects. It was kind of weird. It was like my pancreas just kind of shut down just from everything that happened. So that was probably a few months before going back to UVA or before going to UVA. So I was just kind of getting the hang of it when I got there.
How were you able to bounce back so strong, you know, go to UVA after such a difficult time in 2012?
Like, I think I was really excited to go back to UVA, I think after all this that happened, my parents were, super protective and wanted, you know, we're kind of worrying about everything. Like, I remember my parents just come in at night while I was sleeping to make sure I was breathing as if, like, you know, they were not sure where it was going. So I was kind of excited to go do this new journey and this whole, you know, new part of my life by myself. I was excited to figure it out on my own. I was excited to, you know, I was still, like, now thinking about it, I was kind of young and I guess just innocent, just had no idea what. You know, I just thought, oh, diabetes, this is fine. I'm going to figure it out. It's not going to be a big deal. Like, I also was kind of positive because I had survived all this other stuff that it was like, okay, the doctors told me like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be able to manage it. So I thought, you know, no big deal. It's going to be okay. So I was just kind of really looking forward to getting out of California. And, you know, for me, California was kind of, you know, when I think of it, I think of all the bad things that happened. So again, it was just, Virginia was kind of like a fresh start to me.
Wow. No, that's how Virginia was to me from New York. I spent my whole life in New York. Virginia just seemed like such a positive light, fresh start. And it really forced me to grow and mature. I felt like I was really attached to my parents up to 12th grade, which is crazy because, you know, the tennis life really takes you away from a lot of social outings and opportunities. And so Virginia was just the best thing for me to grow as a person, mature a lot. No, you've accomplished so much at UVA. I know we're not going to talk about it too much, but what was it that just really, what was it about UVA?
Sorry, that's electric beeping. I was just pounding coconut water. I don't know if you probably thought, what is this guy? This guy's so weird. He's chugging a whole bottle. No, I'm fine. Don't worry. It's just, again,
the coconut water. That's really cool. I love coconut water. Does that have like more sugar? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it has sugar, but it's like, again, like it's a little bit more on the healthy side.
Okay.
I try not to pound Gatorades all day long, or I carry these things. They're like little goo packets.
Love those. They actually taste good.
I started using these because I was, like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night super low, and I'd pound, like, 2 liters of coconut water, and then I'd have to go to the bathroom every 30 minutes. So it was driving me nuts. And I realized, hey, why don't I just take a drink of goo, and that's, like, not liquid, really. So, again, we got sidetracked.
But no, you're fine. I want to talk about it a little bit more because I love how on social media you're so open about your story and, like, the things you do to track it and all that. So I think that's really cool. I see you have some stuff that you attach to your body, like monitors.
Yeah, I use a glucose monitor and an insulin pump. And so they're two different devices that are connected to me, but they somehow, like, they talk to each other, they communicate with each other via Bluetooth, so they're all kind of synced in, so it makes it really easy. And again, I have the pump on pretty much all day long. I never take it off, really, so it kind of adjusts my it makes adjustments based on how my blood sugar is going. Like, right now, it's low, so it stopped all the insulin going into my body just to try to help it stabilize. Obviously, I have to do things myself. Like, it's not a perfect system because I still have to tell it exactly how many carbs I'm eating and how much sugar is going into my body and if I'm going to work out. It still is very dependent on you. It's not perfect yet, but the technology has been advancing so much that even from when I know people have had it for 40 years and they tell you how crazy it is, but I've had it for 9-10 years and it's kind of gone crazy how much it's improved.
Wow. I actually, this is nothing like what you have, but I'm a little hypoglycemic. So I have to carry some.
How awful that feels.
Yeah, it does not feel good. I remember, it actually was really bad. I remember at UVA, like, so when we had dual matches, you play doubles then singles. So it's a long, like, it's not like UVA men's tennis where you guys are done with both in an hour and a half. Us girls, we took like 5 hours to finish both. And, you know, you want to be out there cheering for your team. And sometimes you forget you need to munch on a bar or hydrate, even though it's super important. So for every match, the coaches had to get me like orange juice, like just in case, you know, because it has so much sugar.
It's not a good feeling. You feel pretty awful. And that's what I struggle with a lot of times. I'll get that low blood sugar and I think, like, I'll be practicing and I think, oh no, it's just, you know, I'm tired. Like, maybe I should, you know, you almost feel like you have no more energy. But at the same time, sometimes I don't even realize, like, oh, it's my blood sugar rather than it. Sometimes I feel like it's me that's like doesn't want to practice anymore. Like, I feel like I lose that motivation when in reality it's like it's just out of my control. So again, it's just a whole balancing act. It's very manageable. Like, that's what I tell people all the time. Like, it's not, you know, it's not holding me back from doing anything. It's just kind of an extra layer of things that I have to control and and manage compared to the other people I'm playing against.
And clearly you're doing such an amazing job of it. I know in 2017, you qualified for your first US Open main draw. I mean, wow. That was right out of graduation. Can you just talk about the emotions and just the feeling of playing at the US Open in front of an American crowd?
Yeah, I thought it was just so cool because, like, I think it was the first time I was ever there. So it's, like, a different experience because everything's so new. And, like, now when I go back, you kind of know your way around. Like, mm-hmm. you're not as kind of starstruck or even just shocked going into the locker room. And, you know, it's just different because it was the first time and I was just so happy just to be there. So I had no real expectations. I had no idea, you know, what could possibly happen. So kind of when I got through that first round match, I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is fun. This is cool. I had all that, you know, energy going from winning that. And then just kind of took that momentum and kind of rode it out. It was, again, it's probably one of the coolest memories I have besides all the college championships, just because it came out of nowhere and just watching all the people support me. I remember, you know, all the coaches there and Brian was there and even seeing like the UVA people there for my first round, I thought was so weird. Like I saw this, you probably know Scott Docker and his family came at like they yeah. drove to watch the match and just a lot of people I would have never expected to really come and support me were there. So that I thought it was just a different experience. Like I think that the next year I played and I lost in the last round. And it was just different because you go into it thinking, oh, you know, maybe I can, you know, you kind of feel like you deserve a little bit to be in the qualifying. Whereas before I was just like kind of happy even be in the facility.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like every round is like that you win is a gift. Like winning the first round is like, wow, yeah. like I did great. And then you won again. You're like, oh, wow.
It was funny because I saw Martin Blackman there the year I got the year I qualified, and the year before I had actually texted him because I was working in New York, and I texted him and I was like, hey, or the last time I texted him, I was working in New York, and I texted him like, hey, can I get a ticket to go see the, you know, to just to go watch, and he
oh,
saw me, like,
my
can
God.
You believe last year you asked me for just a general admissions ticket, and he was great, he got it for me, but it was funny how I, like, it's just such a change, and, you know,
wow.
like, for me, it really was a shock.
That is such a great story. Wow. Yeah, so you, I seem like a total stalker. I did some research. You worked one summer at JP Morgan, is that right?
Yeah, that was a good experience. I really enjoyed my time there.
What did you think of the office living kind of life? I know you declined a position there to continue your pro dream.
It's just a different environment. Like you work, I was getting in the office, of course, I was an intern, so they were telling me you had to be the first one there, and I follow the rules. So mm-hmm. I'd be there at like 6 a.m. and then you leave, probably you want to be one of the last ones out. So it'd be 6 to 11 most nights. And then by the time you, you know, take the subway, get back to, you know, it's like midnight, 12:30. So you don't really get much sleep. You're working like a dog, and then comes a weekend, it's New York, so you want to hang out and go out. And, it's exhausting on the body. I remember I was there for like 2-3 weeks, and I just remember looking in the mirror one day and like, you know, your eyes change and your face just, you put on weight and you just don't feel as healthy as you do, or at least going from being an athlete that used to play tennis and work out, you know, twice a day to I wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like I would go hit maybe on a Sunday, because, you know, the courts are really hard to find courts there. So I would hit, there was a clay court somewhere in the city on like 40th or something that I would hit at and like once a week. And that was about it. So it really was, I just didn't like the lifestyle. I didn't like at the time because obviously I was young and I really enjoyed playing. And I missed it. Obviously in the future, maybe I'd go back to something like that, but just as a 22-year-old, you know, I felt like I needed to give it at least one more shot.
Yeah.
But it definitely changed my perspective as well. Like, you know, tennis players don't do much, to be honest with you. Like, our day is 9 to 4, you know, it's different working a full-time job, realizing, you know, how hard it is and how demanding that is compared to, you know, going out in the sun for 2 hours, hitting the tennis ball, running around. Like, it's kind of easy what we do.
Yeah, wow. That's such a interesting kind of experience you had, and I'm sure it made you appreciate tennis more when that internship was over. It was like, wow, like I'm really happy to be hitting tennis balls outside in the sun, getting exercise.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what it was like for me when I first got injured. I got a job at Madison Square Garden in, like, the media industry. And I was sitting at my office. I was still living on Long Island. And I had to leave my house at 4:30 a.m. to take a Long Island Railroad train into Penn Station every day. So I know exactly what you mean. And then you put on the weight. You get tired, like, you either work out before or after, and obviously I wasn't going to work out before 4 a.m. So,
what I thought was super just amazing, just in general, the few days, like I started at one point, I'd wake up at like 5 and do like a 30 minutes run, you know, just do something.
Yeah.
And I was way more productive. Like, I would go into the office and people were yawning and I was awake. And like, so it's amazing just how important, you know, being active is, and how, you know, how much it helps, at least in all areas of life. So that's when I realized, like, man, like, I need to get back to being healthy and, you know, working out. But it's tough, because how do you find the motivation to wake up at 5 in the morning to work out, then shower, then, you know, it's not easy.
Oh, absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. JC, right now you're ranked 206. What are you trying to achieve, whether it's this year or next year? What are some of the goals you have for yourself?
I guess right now it's getting back to back on court.
It's a good point.
I think any goal anyone has had this year is completely thrown out the window.
Right.
I think now we're all just kind of playing it by ear. But again, I feel like, I don't know, it's weird. Every year that goes by, I feel like I understand the game a little more. And you know, I used to, when I started college, I used to think it was all about how you hit the ball and just running and, you know, grunting and trying hard. And every year I learned, you know, just how much it's not. And it's about all the other aspects and all the things you control and how you manage, you know, just your tennis life and your life in general. So, I don't know, goals moving forward. Obviously, I would love to get back to traveling and competing, but I feel like I've been so close to, you know, where you have that breakthrough where you, not even ranking wise, but where you feel like everything just kind of, you figure it out, you know, you have the confidence and you're hitting the ball well and you're getting some momentum. I feel like that's really important in the game, and I just haven't hit that stride yet. And I feel like I'm trying to do everything I can and control kind of the things I can't control. So I just feel like that would be a great goal to kind of find that zone that I've been so close to getting, that you kind of get little pieces of it in and out, but you got to hold on to it at some point.
Absolutely. Now, what a lot of people don't know from the outside is the things we have to go through day in and day out. Obviously, you played the U.S. Open, you qualified for the main draw. The tournament in New York is not what it's like each and every week. How would you say you're able to balance maybe the highs of being in New York City, like living or hotels, versus, you know, like the lower levels where it's a little crummier and not as nice?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've just, some of the best memories I have are from like the shittiest tournaments, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know, I went this year and last year I went to Bangkok, Thailand, which like, it's great. Bangkok's fun, but like the tournament is a disaster and the pollution is terrible and the courts are awful. And I don't know, I enjoy different things. Like, that you can kind of take the positive out of everything. Like, I had great time hanging out with, you know, I met new friends, because obviously in Thailand I didn't know anybody and there was a few Americans there. So you kind of had to hang out with those guys and guys that I probably wouldn't have hung out with before. So I made great friendships there. Just learning about new cultures and trying out new things. And I mean, I have tons of different stories just from different places. It doesn't necessarily mean that just by being at the US Open, you're going to have the most fun. So I think it's kind of how you look at it. You can obviously go there and complain about everything and probably have a terrible week. But I guess I try to look at things a little bit differently. And it definitely helps when you travel to some crummy places.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes me back to the ITF junior days. I went a lot abroad internationally, yeah. And I spent 3 weeks in Morocco. And when you tell someone you're going to Morocco, they think you're going to be like in Marrakesh or at a resort. But I'm telling these 3 weeks were spent in third world areas of the country, like a place called Mohammedia, Casablanca, and Rabat. Like, people would say, where are you staying? And then you'd point there and be like, the only building within like 20 miles is where I'm staying. Or, I don't know, it's just, you're right, I have so many stories.
Because you've experienced that, like, yeah. You can appreciate the, you know, like, mm-hmm. I remember last year, I think I was coming back from playing the grass court swing, and I was so tired, and I was so exhausted, and I accidentally signed up for Antalya, the 250, and I had no idea, and I got in, and I landed in Miami, and I get a call, like, hey, you're in the qualities of Antalya, like, you kind of have to go because you put it priority one. I got directly in. So I had but because I've been to such crummy places, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to make the most of it. And I took like a 30-hour flight and I got there. And it was one of the most beautiful places I've been. Like, obviously, it's a 250, but it was at this amazing resort right on the beach, all inclusive. And like, I think before, if I wouldn't have been to some of these places and have that open minded, I would have been like, I'm not going to Turkey. You crazy? Like, there's no way. Like, but so I think it gives us kind of a different perspective on just, you know, things in general.
Wait, so you flew to Miami thinking you were in a tournament and then you realize what happened?
I flew to Miami thinking I was done. Like, I've been.
Oh, that was your home. Okay.
And I'm done for 2 weeks. And I get an email saying, oh, you've been entered and accepted into Antalya 250. And I was like, oh, God, now what do I do? So it was kind of a grind.
That's the thing about also pro tennis is things happen spontaneously. Last second, you have to pick up and go, make decisions quickly. You have to be really adaptable and flexible in a sense. And we're not talking about little things like going to a tennis practice. We're talking about flying across the world, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, wow. Well, JC, that is honestly everything I wanted to ask you. I wish you the best of luck in quarantine, and I know we're going to see you back at the U.S. Open competing on my home court.
You got to learn something new about me. So
yeah, oh, I learned so much new about you. Are you kidding me? JC is such an awesome guy. He's so positive and so humble. And through quarantine, he's been doing so much media. Most recently, actually, made the homemade mozzarella. Is that how they say it? The mozzarella. And it looked phenomenal. But it was so nice catching up with JC. And he's obviously been through a lot. And I just love how, like, you know, positive he's been and how he just perseveres all the time and doesn't let anything get in the way. I also appreciate that he worked a summer on Wall Street in New York City. I think that's super cool. I think it's super cool when tennis players are well-rounded and try different, like, avenues of life. Try the work life at a desk. And obviously tennis is all about running around the tennis court in the scorching hot sun. So when you're at a desk, it's like a whole nother world. I've done it. It's strange. At first, it feels nice to not have to run around. But then it's like, oh my gosh, 2 weeks later, I wish I could run around. Like, this is, I'm stuck. I'm truly stuck. So at least, like, now he realized, like, I have more left in the tank. I want to play more tennis. I tried the work life. And I prefer the tennis life. You know, this kind of reminds me of, like, dating, really. You meet so many different people. And you have to find that one that really sticks. That one that stands out. That makes your heart kind of feel something different that it's never felt before. And that's what tennis does. It stood out. And he realized, like, that's the one I want to pursue. That's the avenue I want to pursue. So I know that was a weird comparison, but it's true. It really is true. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, subscribe to this podcast. Leave a review if you enjoyed it. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules L Baba, at JulesElBaba.
BA. See you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.